I want to speak to you briefly on a subject that we are all touched by, we are all familiar with. It's nothing really to do with baptism this morning, but I feel it's poignant to most of our lives, and it's the subject of pain. I don't think any of us here this morning, regardless of where we are in the stages of life, could say that we've never experienced some kind of pain. Whether that pain's been physical, emotional, relational, financial, whatever it is, we've all been touched by pain. Pain is something that is in the world, around the world, in some of the richest parts of the world and in the most poorest parts of the world. Nobody is exempt from it. But the question I want to ask and try to answer this morning is this. Is there any purpose to pain? Can anything good come out of pain? It may sound like a strange message to preach at a baptism, but it's relevant to every single one of us here this morning. It's not something we enjoy, but we all face it. We've all heard the saying, no pain, no gain. That's normally used in the context when you are trying to improve your ability at some kind of sport. For example, many years ago, I decided that I would join a gym. It was in Sparkbrook in Birmingham. It's where I met my lovely wife, who's from Edgbaston. And I went to this gym thinking that I could develop some muscular frame. I went into the gym and joined, and it was the first time. And I went in with all these muscle-bound men who were pumping iron. And the expression that they used was, Rich, no pain, no gain. If you want to gain muscles, you've got to go through some pain. So my first time in the gym. And I went in and I started to pump these weights and I felt fantastic. I was with these big guys. I was bench pressing. I was doing these weights. I came out of that gym and I felt like, some of you won't remember this, I felt like He-Man. But the problem was my arms seemed to be stuck in this kind of a shape as I walked out of the gym like this. I got home, I said to my wife, I said, I've been to the gym, love. I feel great. Got to bed, went asleep, slept like a baby. And then the morning came. You know what I'm talking about. I lay in bed. The only part of me that could move now was my mouth. And I said to Jill, Jill, I can't move, love. I can't move. I literally had to lift my leg out of the bed to get out of the bed. And as I walked down the stairs, every step, it was agony. But we use that phrase, don't we? No pain, no gain. Not only do we do it when it comes to sports, we do it when it comes to trying to lose weight. I've tried to lose weight so many different times. I've tried every diet there is. I've tried the Atkins, the Cambridge, the seafood, the whatever. I've tried every diet I can, and none of them seem to work for me. It's because I love KFC, McDonald's, and Burger King. That is the truth. But we can find so many things in life that are painful. And we can become people who have a complaint mentality because life seems to be so hard for us and it seems so good for everybody else except us. And so all we do is complain. We complain about everything. I remember lecturing a few years ago at a college and I was speaking to some students and we were traveling. It was in the Philippines and I was lecturing to these students on being thankful in all things. No matter what happens to you in life, be thankful for everything. Always be grateful. Always find a reason to be thankful. Well, the bus that we took from where we were in Surigao del Norte to the place where we were going in Sison, the students jumped on the bus, and I was squashed with a very large lady against the window who stank of BO really, really bad. But not only was she large and smelly, she had 12 kids with her who were climbing not only over her, but they were all climbing over me as well. And I could see the students behind me laughing. And one of them reached over and said to me, "Ah, now, Pastor, you said to give thanks in all things." I said, "I do. I thank God she's not my wife." Always find something to be thankful for. We all experience pain, but is there a purpose to the pain? Painful experiences. Another one, our neighbors asked me to look after their house while they went away. So when we were living in the Midlands, we had a dog, and next door, walking the plants, looking after the house, doing the neighborly thing. And to my amazement, I thought to myself, what I would do is I'd let our dog run in their back garden because it was bigger than ours. We decked ours, and so we didn't have any grass, so we let him out, and he was running. And he came back with a rabbit in his mouth. Yes, it was their rabbit. So, panic-stricken, I said, "Drop it! Drop it!" He dropped the rabbit. I run in the house. I washed it in the sink. I found the hairdryer. I blew dry the rabbit before he got too stiff to try and keep him warm and supple. So I blew dry it. I opened the hutch and I put him back in the hutch. 2 days later, they come home. There's a knock on the door. I said, "Hello." He said, "Oh, thanks for looking after the house." I says, "No problem." But they said, "Did you notice anything strange?" I said, "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, before we went away on holiday, the rabbit died and we buried it." Yeah. Painful experiences. But what is the purpose of pain? I'm going to give you 5 things just very quickly. Things that we learn about pain. We learn about ourselves. We discover how vulnerable truly we really are. We try to be strong, but the reality is most of us, even as strong and intelligent, and as much as we can put on a brave face, we weak, vulnerable people. And sometimes we need help outside of ourselves, and our innermost being, the part of us that most people don't see, is the part that's vulnerable and weak, and we like to pretend that we're okay, we got it all together, but deep down we know that we haven't. Pain reveals to us and teaches us more about ourselves. When we go through painful experiences, it reveals our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities, and often the way we deal with pain tells us more about ourselves than we realize. Some people deal with pain by drinking alcohol. Some people deal with pain by taking prescriptive drugs or taking illegal drugs. They have different vices to deal with pain, which reveals really the mess that we're truly in, but don't like to admit it because the pain is private and we don't want everybody to know. But pain often reveals who we really are. The second thing about pain is we learn about others. We learn about others. You know, there is no greater act than the act of generosity and kindness towards other people. The Bible actually tells us, if you want many friends, be friendly. I've had people come to me over the years saying, "Pastor, I haven't got any friends." And I've sat down with them. Within 5 minutes, I've discovered why. It's because they're not very friendly. If you want many friends, be friendly. I'm not saying be extrovert. You know, "Oh, hello, my name's Larry, how are you? Do you want to come out to me?" No, I'm not talking about that. That's wrong, that's camp, and it's not what we do here. But be friendly to people. Be nice to people. Be generous to people. We have a policy in our church here. If I find out someone's in need or something's happened, or we just send flowers to people. And it's amazing just sending flowers, what it does for people. It's incredible. But we learn about others. When we see others experience pain, how do we respond to it? Sadly, in our society today, most of us are numb to the pain of others because we see it every day. We watch the news and there's appeal after appeal in war-torn countries of starving children, and we've learned to switch off because we see it every day. I hope and trust that we don't walk away and we don't walk past people that we know and that we love are experiencing pain, but we would be the first there to help them to deal with that pain. How do we reach out? How do we care? How do we help them? Many people have said to me in the last 2 years since we've started the church, how has the church grown, Pastor Richard? You know, I think the fundamental reason is this, is we genuinely do care and love people. And that's the only reason. It ain't nothing else. There's no magic formula. Some churches say, well, do you pray for people and see mad things happen and all that? Well, not really, no. We don't need mad things to happen. We're all mad anyway. We just love people. And love is the greatest of all. It always conquers and it always wins. We learn about others. The third thing, we learn dependence on God. It's amazing how people are quick to blame God for things in their life. I remember many times when, before I was a Christian, I got caught taking drugs and doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And I'd be in a police cell and I used to say, God, if you get me out of this one, I promise you, I'll never do it again. What a load of lies. But pain often brings us to the place of realizing that even friends and family cannot deal with the pain that we're experiencing. And we need a power that is greater than ourselves. And our dependence on God becomes more of a reality than you ever realize. Pain does drive us to a dependence on God. When all other vices fail, we learn that God is constant in our confusion. He brings sense and meaning in situations that seem so chaotic and so confusing. To sit quietly, to think upon, to dwell upon God brings His peace and makes the pathway of life so much clearer than you can ever imagine. That's what He does. Healing to our sickness. Peace in the midst of our chaos. And pain can often be the path that many people come to faith in Christ. Many of you have been through painful experiences, and as a result of that, you have come to faith in Christ. But not all, but certainly some. The fourth thing, pain can teach us valuable lessons. We can be great learners if only we would realize what caused the pain in the first place. But often we repeat the mistake. We do the same things. And as I said before, if you do the same thing, you get the same results. We should learn from painful experiences. We make certain mistakes, but we don't learn from them. But pain can often be a teacher that teaches us how to do things differently when it comes to life. Sadly, many do not learn. They become victims and they refuse to learn from their mistakes repeatedly, and they blame everybody else except themselves for the way their life has turned out. Let me set you free this morning as a pastor. Don't blame anybody else. Look at yourself and then say, Lord, help me to change. I can't do it, but you can. You see, these people who've been baptized here today, they've been baptized because they've come to faith in Christ, because they realized their life, they needed more than just the everyday 9 to 5, go to work, do your job, go out on the weekend, get smashed, watch the football, watch the rugby. There's more to life than that. And they've realized, they've worked out in their heads, they're longer dead than they are alive. So they need to make sure they get that bit sorted out before they leave. What lessons have you or I learned from painful experiences? What do we learn? What have I learned? What have you learned? Children are the same. They learn from painful experiences. My third son, Isaac. Fourth. Yeah, my fourth son, Isaac. I was preparing my log fire, which is one of my nice things I enjoy to do in the house. I chop logs and put them in the wood burner. I told him not to touch the fire. And what he did was, the doors were actually open, but the doors were hot. And he touched it. Painful. He burned himself. So obviously run the cold water and everything else. But since that experience, whenever he goes near it, he says, "Daddy, no touch, no touch, dangerous, dangerous." He has learned from that painful experience. I wonder, even as adults, do we actually learn from those painful experiences? Or do we return to the same place where we've experienced them? I'm amazed at how many people get hurt by preachers. Ooh. But they go back every week and get whipped. "You evil people, I'm telling you now." I mean, anyway, moving on. The pain can teach us some valuable lessons. And finally, and fifthly, pain can give birth to something beautiful. Ladies, you all know that. It's called pregnancy. It's called giving birth. Most of the men here won't understand this, but the ladies do. We've stood by our wives. I have three times. Where was I, the other two? All right then, okay, shh, don't tell everyone. And so, but you see your wife go through a painful experience of giving birth, but what happens is the pain always seems worth it when you hold the baby in your arms afterwards and realize how beautiful that child is, especially when it looks like its dad. But it's true. And we say this, "I am never going through that pain ever again." Jill said that on one, and we've got five. But we make those expressions. Why? Because pain, and out of pain, something beautiful can be produced. When that pain produces a beautiful baby that you hold and treasure for the rest of your life, you know it's worth it. I've never met a woman who has held her baby and said the pain wasn't worth it. Never. Finally, today, as we have seen those who have experienced new birth, they've been through painful experiences in their lives. But there is a new birth taking place in Christ. And as a result, they've been baptized. And they can testify that what they have found in Christ makes it all worthwhile. Every single experience that they've been through in their lives makes it all worthwhile. Life begins to make sense when you know the God who created you and you come to know Christ as your Savior. The scriptures put it like this: the sufferings this time present are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Scriptures always tell us in the final book, the book of Revelation, and on that day he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there'll be no more sorrow, and there will be no more pain. I want to encourage you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, why go through life's experiences, going through pain, without knowing the one who can be the constant comfort, the constant peace, the constant serenity, constant forgiveness? And all you have to do is pray a very simple prayer and say, "Jesus, will you forgive me?" And I tell you, he will. He's done it for hundreds and thousands and millions of people around the world, and he is still doing it today. The church is alive. I can ask everyone of you to bow your head and close your eyes as we're going to pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No moving about this part of the service, please. As you have witnessed today this great occasion of people being baptized, and as you've listened to my brief message today, I want to challenge you. Jesus Christ went through the most excruciating pain on the cross. It wasn't just a historical event that took place. It was done for you. It was done for me. So that we could be forgiven from our sin and find peace with God. Maybe in your own life you have no peace. And you have to fight pain every day all by yourself. And you wonder, how am I going to get through this? I want you to know God can help you. God can be with you. And He will rescue you and He will bring you through. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you say, Pastor Richard, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ this morning. I want Him to help me. I want Him to deal with the pain that's in my life. I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, I want you to slip your hand up. And when I see it, I'll ask you to take it down. I want to pray for you. I really do want to pray. I sense there are many of you here that need to pray this prayer this morning. I'm going to count to three. Get ready to slip that hand up. One, two, three. Just slip it up high right now, all across the building. Just slip it up. Don't wait for anybody else. You'll be the first. God bless you there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Is there one more here this morning? Is there one more here this morning? Anybody else? Just quickly, before I close this appeal. Is there one more? Is there one more here? God bless you. Anybody else? Yes, right at the back over there. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Yes, thank you. I've seen your hand. Thank you very much. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Holy Spirit. God is, I just know God is knocking on the door of some of your hearts. And you're like, oh, I don't know if I should do this. This church and this preacher, he's a bit funny, he's a bit charismatic. I don't know if I want to let myself in for this. I could be in for a lot of trouble. I'll let you know the secret. Yeah, you will be, yeah, but it'll be fun. You'll enjoy it. It'll be the best decision you've ever made. Is there one more here that'll join these four or five people who've already responded? Before I close this appeal, finally, yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? That is awesome. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for those of you who raised your hands. I want to pray with and for you. I'm going to ask everybody to stand together. Shall we do that? Let's all stand together. As we do in our church every week, we're going to pray a prayer together. I want you to join with those six people that have made decisions for Christ this morning, who've raised their hands. For those of you who raised your hands, please come and speak either to myself, Pastor Faye, who you've seen on the platform, or Pastor Kenny. He's the one who speaks with the funny accent. He's a great guy. Come and speak to us. We want to talk to you, find out more about you. But let's all pray this prayer together, shall we? Dear God, I come to you as a sinner in need of forgiveness. I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. This I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.